Our scripture lesson for this morning, our first scripture lesson, will be taken from 1 Peter. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verses 13 through 23. And that is found on page 1060 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former things did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same intention. For whoever has suffered in the flesh is finished with sin. Our second reading will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 15 through 21. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was going to begin this sermon by making a lawyer joke, but I decided against it, thought that might be somewhat mean. Lawyers often are subjected to a great deal of grief in our society, perhaps a lot of it justified, but they are indeed very special people. We live in a society that is very much dependent upon the adversarial judicial relationship that our legal system requires. All of us from time to time need perhaps a good advocate or a good lawyer, and that is what a lawyer is. A lawyer is an advocate, someone who goes with you, is beside you, who counsels you in difficult times. Lawyers, of course, are not the only advocates. There are many people who have devoted their lives advocating on behalf of others. Some of you, as a part of your vocations, advocate on behalf of people every day. Some of you advocate on behalf of children, both the born and the unborn. And some of you advocate on behalf of those who are unemployed. I was with a couple of our members earlier this week, John and Evelyn Dodds. And many of you may know that John is the director of the Philadelphia Unemployment Project. And he advocates on behalf of people who are unemployed in the city of Philadelphia. He assists them and helps them to be able to obtain employment and generally advocates on behalf of their interest. So advocates are very important in our world. Indeed, the more vulnerable you are and the weaker you are in our society, the more you are probably in need of someone who will advocate on your behalf, someone who will be beside you and who will counsel you and comfort you and speak up for you. So advocates are very, very important. Our text this morning from the Gospel of John is a continuation of the text that we read last week. It is a part of the so-called farewell discourse where Jesus is telling his disciples that he is about to depart from them and to go back to the Father. Up until that time, Jesus had been their advocate. He's been their comforter. He was the one who was in their midst. He was the one who guided and directed them. He was the one that was nearby for them. He was their counselor and their advocate. But now he's telling them that he's not going to be there with them, that he is going away. He's going to be with the Father. And he knows that they're going to be left very, very vulnerable. And so Jesus tells them that even though he is going, that they don't have to be despondent, that he is going to send them someone else. He is going to send them someone who will advocate for them. He is going to send them someone who will comfort them. He is going to send them someone who will be beside them in the midst of a very troubled and dangerous world. He tells them he is going to send them another advocate. The advocate that Jesus promises, of course, is none other than the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. It is the same Spirit that was there brooding over the face of the waters before the creation of the world. It is this Spirit advocate, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus promises the little vulnerable community of people who have been formed in his name. One is often at a loss of words when it comes to describing the Holy Spirit. No one has really seen the Holy Spirit. All we are able to see are its effects. And the Holy Spirit is often likened to the blowing of a mighty wind, which may be a bit disconcerting given all the powerful storms that we've experienced in this country during this springtime. But the thing to remember about the Spirit Advocate that Jesus promises is that it is Jesus' own Spirit. It is the same Spirit that came upon Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan. It is the same spirit that drove Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. It is the same spirit by which Jesus cast out demons and by which he healed the sick and fed the hungry. Jesus says, I'm going to send you, little church, I'm going to send you that same spirit, the spirit that was upon me. We know that that spirit falls upon the early church during the season of Pentecost. And we can say a great deal about the Holy Spirit and the charisms or gifts that it brings to the church. But this morning I just want to say a few things about the Spirit. First of all, we want to state the obvious. The Holy Spirit, like any good advocate, dwells within us. He takes up residence within you and me. And I use the pronoun he there, but in the New Testament, the pronoun that is used for the Holy Spirit is a neuter pronoun. It is neither male or female, but it is the Spirit that comes to dwell in our midst. Now think about that for a moment. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that comes to be with us and that dwells in our midst, is the spiritual presence of God in Christ. There are all kinds of things that we might not have, all kinds of things that we might be deficient in the eyes of the world. We might not have silver and gold. We might not have power or influence. We might not have doctorate degrees or master's degrees. There's all kinds of things that we might not have, that we might be deficient in the eyes of the world. But one of the things that we do have is something that is invaluable, something that the world cannot give us. We have the spiritual presence of God and Christ in our midst. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ abides in you and in me. But even though the Holy Spirit abides in us, the Holy Spirit is not our spirit. It is not given to us individually for us to do what we want it to do. It is not there to help us as we go about living our lives the way we want to live our lives. But the Holy Spirit is sent upon the whole community. It is sent and given to the whole church for the building and the edification of the whole church. The Holy Spirit is about community. That goes against the grain of our very individualistic society. We often think and are encouraged to think by our society very individualistically. But the Holy Spirit is not just given to us as individuals. The Holy Spirit is given to the whole church. It's given to the whole community. And the gifts of the Spirit are gifts for the building up and the edification of the whole community. Neither is the Spirit a warm and fuzzy feeling. I hear people all the time say, you know, I don't go to church. Churches are big and dark. They're boring places. There's people there who are hypocrites. I don't go to church, but I'm a spiritual person. I hear that all the time now. I'm a spiritual person. I confess that I don't exactly know what that means for someone to say that they are a spiritual person outside of the context of the church. Oftentimes when people say that, they mean that they get a sense, a spiritual sense from doing things like going to the seashore or walking in nature or meditating in their backyard. They get a sense of a spiritual sense in doing those things. And perhaps that's important, but the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell within us is not some nice, fuzzy, warm spiritual feeling that we get. The Holy Spirit that comes to abide in us and comes to be in us is the Spirit that empowers us to do the things that Jesus did. In Luke's gospel, the very first sermon that Jesus gives in his hometown, he quotes the prophet Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has called me and sent me, anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. That's what Jesus says before he gets started in his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me and anointed me. And it's that same Spirit that Jesus says he sends to you and to me. The same Spirit that abides in you and me. The Spirit of God rests upon you and it rests upon me. We too are called to go out into the world. We too are anointed by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim good news to people who are poor. We are called to proclaim good news to those who are blind, to help people who are blind be able to see the ways of God in the world. We too are sent out into the world to help set people free. People who are oppressed by all kinds of things. People who are oppressed by drugs and alcohol. People who are oppressed by guilt. People who are oppressed because they don't think highly of themselves. People who are in living arrangements that oppress them. We are called and anointed by the Spirit of God to proclaim release to the captives. Jesus says, I'm going to send you, little church, that same Spirit that rested upon me. The second thing I want to say about the Spirit Advocate that Jesus promises us is that it is the Spirit of truth. That's what Jesus calls it. He calls it the Spirit of truth. There are all kinds of spirits blowing in our world. Many of them make pretensions to be truthful spirits and holy spirits and good spirits. The Bible tells us that we need to test the spirits to make sure that they are from God. But not every spirit that's blowing in our midst is a truthful, holy spirit. Some spirits are lying spirits. Some spirits are deceiving spirits. But the Spirit Advocate that Jesus promises us is the Spirit of truth, which is another way of saying that it is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John's Gospel, I am the way and the truth and the life. The truth is not an abstract set of principles or ideas that we are called to believe, but the truth is a person. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship that we are called to have with him. That's why on Good Friday, when Pontius Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is true? Jesus remained silent. Not because he's befuddled by Pilate's question, but because Jesus is the truth. Jesus, the truth is right there in front of Pilate, but Pilate cannot understand it. Pilate cannot know it. Pilate cannot see that right before him is the truth and the way and the life. And just as the pilots of the world had trouble knowing and understanding and comprehending Jesus, so the pilots of the world today are not able to know and comprehend and understand the Spirit that is in our midst. They're not able to see and understand the Spirit of God. Jesus reminds us that we have his Spirit, the same Spirit that fell upon him. The advocate that Jesus brings us, the advocate that Jesus promises us, is indeed the Spirit of truth. It tells us the truth about ourselves, and it tells us the truth about God. You see, we often do not want to know the truth. We prefer not to understand and know the truth about ourselves as sinners. We understand on an intellectual level that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we don't want to know the truth about how the power of sin has captured all of our lives. We don't want to know the truth about how much we give ourselves over to the idols of the world, no matter what they might be. But Jesus says that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We are called to be mindful of that truthful Spirit in our midst, and to allow that Spirit to form us and to shape us. The world cannot know and comprehend the way of the Spirit, because the way of the Spirit is the way of Christ. It is the way of self-giving love. And let me say that again. The world cannot know or see the way of the Spirit that abides in us and empowers us, because the way of the Spirit is the way of self-giving love. And that is just not the way that the world operates. One of the ways of being able to test the spirits is to see if the spirits comport with the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of self-giving love. If it's not a spirit that comports with the Spirit of Christ, if it's not a spirit that comports with Jesus' way of self-giving love, then it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not a truthful spirit. It may be something else. It may be a spirit of hatred. It may be a spirit of greed. It may be a spirit that seeks to deceive us. But a spirit that is a truthful spirit, the Spirit of God that Jesus gives us, is the spirit of self-giving love. And that leads me to the last point that I want to say this morning. The Spirit Advocate that Jesus promises us is the Spirit that empowers us to be able to keep Jesus' commandments. Jesus says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And in John's Gospel, Jesus' chief commandment is that we love one another. In chapter 13 of John's Gospel, as Jesus is washing his disciples' feet, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." None of us can do that on our own power. None of us can do that on our own inclination. It is the Spirit of God, the Advocate in our midst, that goes beside us, that empowers us to be able to be that kind of community, the kind of community that the world does not understand. It is the Spirit that helps us to overcome the barriers that we construct, barriers that divide us, barriers that separate us, barriers that help protect us from engaging our fellow human beings. But the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, helps to tear those barriers down, so that in the Lord Jesus Christ we become one. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that our identities are forged in who Jesus is and who Jesus has called us to be. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit where we no longer come to see our primary identity as being one of the categories of the world, but it's where we come to see our primary identity as being children of God, as being people who are forged in the community of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not here this morning as belonging to the categories and the spirits of this world. We are not here this morning because we belong to the category of black or white. We are not here this morning because we belong to the category of rich or poor. We are not here this morning because we belong to the category of suburban our inner city. We are not here this morning because we belong to the category of rich or poor. We are not even here this morning because we belong to the category of our national identities. We are here this morning because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to make that proclamation. We live in a world that is beholden to the spirits that blow in the mist, a world that cannot understand us. The world cannot understand us, just as it could not understand our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The world wonders what kind of spirit is blowing in our midst. I hear them all the time. You ever been over there at Olney Presbyterian Church? What kind of spirit is blowing in their midst? There are people with a different kind of spirit. They don't have the same kind of spirit blowing there that's blowing out here. They're not the same kind of people that we are. They're a different kind of people. They're not a people who are divided by race. They're not a people who are divided by class. They're not a people who are beholden to the same kind of categories that we are beholden to. But they're a whole different kind of people. They have a different kind of spirit blowing in their midst. The Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. We have an advocate this morning because we can't stand on our own two feet. We can't stand in this world representing ourselves on our own power. We can't stand before the categories and the authorities of this world and say who we are, whether those authorities are the authorities that encourage us to assume our identities and what we have or what we achieve. We can't stand up to those authorities on our own power. We need somebody to go with us in the world. We need somebody who's going to walk alongside us. We need somebody who's going to comfort us. We need somebody who's going to counsel us when we run into difficult times. We need the presence and power of God and Christ. We need an advocate. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you desolate. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to the Father, but you're not alone because you have my Spirit. It is indeed the Spirit of Christ. It is indeed the Spirit of the Father. But it's also our Spirit. It's your Spirit, and it's my Spirit. It is the Spirit that Jesus has given to us to go out and to bear witness to who Jesus is, that this world belongs to God, that Jesus has already reconciled this world to God's self, and that Jesus' Spirit is already blowing in our midst. The Holy Spirit is not confined to us. Even though Jesus promises us the Spirit, it is not confined to us. It is not confined to this church. It is not confined to the places that we think it ought to be confined to. But the Spirit of God is blowing. We know that. We cannot see the Spirit, but we can see its effects. We know that wherever people are being taken care of, the Spirit of God is blowing. We know that wherever people are reconciled and getting along with one another, embracing one another, loving one another, we know the Spirit of God is blowing. We know that wherever enemies, people who are former enemies, are embracing one another, we know the Spirit of God is blowing. We know that wherever hungry people are being fed, the Spirit of God is blowing. Let us continue to open our hearts and minds to the power of the Spirit in our midst as we proclaim the good news that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has indeed conquered the spirits of this world, and that every knee will one day bow, every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's through the power of His Spirit that we proclaim that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you help us to be open to the movement of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We ask, Lord, that you help us to follow your Spirit out into the world as it leads us to all truth. The truth that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go with us, Lord, in everything that we do. Help us to know that you are there for us, advocating for us, strengthening us, counseling us, comforting us, helping us to be the people, that beloved community that you have called us to be, the community who follows your commandments, who obeys your commandments, because we love you and you love us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray here today. Amen.